I'm Callum Borchers. It's time for three stories you should know. That sound from Wednesday's ticker tape parade in New York for the World Cup champion U.S. Women's National Team. And that's where we'll begin this week. I'm joined by New York Magazine contributing editor Will Leach via Skype and by Sports Illustrated's Charlotte Wilder. Welcome back to both of you.
Hello, sir. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here.
Well, Charlotte, I have to say that you included a really beautiful personal reflection in your report on the parade for Sports Illustrated. You wrote that seeing these young girls whoop and yell brought back memories of your own childhood experience watching Brandi Chastain and the U.S. women win a World Cup 20 years ago. So what made the parade so meaningful?
When the U.S. women won in 1999, I was 10 years old. I was watching with my youth soccer team, and I remember absolutely everything about that day. I remember where I was sitting on the couch. I remember ending up on the back of the couch when they won. We were all crying. We immediately all went outside and played a pickup soccer game. And I remember just running faster than I'd ever run before and feeling this sense of possibility. It was such a powerful experience for me that after this incredible World Cup win and this incredibly bold and exciting team, the parade, I was just completely overcome. And by the time the last float, I think, with players on it was Crystal Dunn and Tobin Heath, they were leading a chant of equal pay, you know, a reference to this lawsuit that the U.S. women's team is bringing against U.S. soccer. And the entire crowd, you know, men, women, children, are just chanting equal pay. And it felt like this huge, incredibly patriotic moment in a hopeful way that I haven't felt in a long time.
We've seen championship teams and we've seen excitement. We have not necessarily seen this. I've wrote about this in New York Magazine. And one of the things that was really inspiring about this, traditionally speaking, activism in sports has been punished. What was so exciting about this, in addition to everything that Charlotte talked about, is the idea that, like, activism is cool. Like, activism is like one of the things that's made this team so fun, right? Their strength and their kind of fight in this has been wrapped up in the enjoyment of it really from the beginning. And of course, that was going on 4 years ago when they won then. But obviously, there's an obvious antagonist, I suppose, in this situation that I think elevates it considerably. So it was exciting for me to imagine what it's going to be like in 20 years, the people that this inspires and what we see from them in 20 years.
You know, one of the standout things for me was that the players weren't even done after the parade. It was kind of like when they were up 3-0 at halftime against Thailand and then piled on 10 more goals after that. You know, they flew from the celebration in New York to the ESPYs in Los Angeles, where they won the Best Team Award. And Alex Morgan said something important on stage. She said, "We obviously enjoy the success on the biggest stage right now, but when the World Cup is behind us, it's the professional league that we need to continually lift up and grow." So, Charlotte, can the World Cup momentum carry over to the National Women's Soccer League?
Yeah, I mean, I really hope so. I did a feature on Julie Ertz. She plays for the Chicago Red Stars. It was around the time that NBC picked up more of their games to broadcast. And she said she was so spot on about it. She was like, you know, girls can now watch this. Like, you can turn on the television and watch this team in your home city. And I'm really hopeful that this momentum carries. I mean, I've been using Instagram solely to watch their Instagram stories because in addition to being incredible on the field and in their activism, they're also just really fun and funny and completely who they are. And I hope that some of that star power can carry them through and make people watch, you know, in the pro league.
The NWSL has a new TV deal with ESPN, by the way, and it starts this weekend with a match between Portland and Orlando. All right, I mentioned the ESPYs a moment ago, and ESPN's annual awards show can be a bit gimmicky. I mean, there's a trophy for best viral sports moment, for example. But the Arthur Ashe Courage Award has become a genuinely big deal, often recognizing civil rights activists. Honorees have included contemporary figures like Caitlyn Jenner and Michael Sam, and people who made a mark decades ago, like Tommy Smith and John Carlos, known for their Black Power salute at the 1968 Olympics. This year's winner is in the decades ago group for sure, basketball legend Bill Russell, who marched the Boston Celtics to 11 championships and also marched on Washington in 1963, standing near Martin Luther King Jr. for his I Have a Dream speech.
Being a high-profile athlete, there was a forum there for me if I choose to use it. And I choose to use it.
That's Russell in a video that ESPN produced for the awards show. He's 85 now and didn't give live remarks, but he got a huge ovation, Will Leach, and you could tell that many of today's athletes clearly see him as a civil rights icon.
Yeah, and as well they should. You know, this is speaking about that New York Magazine column I wrote. Russell was right there back in the famous Ali Summit in 1967, where it was Bill Russell and Jim Brown and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Muhammad Ali all kind of talking about activism in sports back then. And it wasn't just a stance for them to take. They had, like, legitimate consequences. Like, there were immediate problems. And it is so hard to be a professional athlete, to be able to do that and still be able to stand for what you believe in. It's really amazing now, let alone what it was 50 years ago.
And Charlotte, I was really struck by the A-list non-athletes who participated in honoring Bill Russell this week. ESPN's video tribute featured former President Barack Obama, Samuel L. Jackson, Angela Bassett. I mean, Russell transcends sports, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people transcend sports. You know, I think that there's this sort of trope that athletes must be athletes and, you know, they're not rewarded for activism and maybe we're seeing a shift there. And I think we definitely are seeing a shift. I think it's still a real battle for some people to be seen as, you know, like there's an NFL player I know who loves photography and travels all around Europe in the offseason taking these gorgeous film photos, but he's seen as a football player. And having these multifaceted areas, activism is where people see that most because you have to be vocal about it. And I think that while, you know, Will mentioned earlier the idea that part of the appeal of the U.S. women's team was their activism, I think, you know, I saw in the replies to the story I wrote sort of lauding them for it that there are a lot of people who still really don't like that. And so the bravery it takes for, you know, that it took for Bill Russell to do this, even when, like, now it's tough, but back then it was close to impossible. And so the bravery of doing what he did is just staggering.
Well, you know, one thing I'm wondering is how provocative ESPN is going to choose to be with this Arthur Ashe Award down the line. I mean, the Bill Russell tribute video showed him sitting in a theater watching old footage of his activism. But there's also this brief moment when Colin Kaepernick appears on screen. And I will say that ESPN has made some bold selections with the award. Some fans certainly weren't happy about Tommy Smith and John Carlos, for example, who also demonstrated during the national anthem. But the network hasn't picked Kaepernick for the award. And as Charlotte well knows, he won a similar award from Sports Illustrated just a couple of years ago. So I'm curious whether we're going to see Kaepernick on the ESPY stage someday, given that ESPN has that Monday Night Football TV deal with the NFL. All right, Will, close us out.
The MLB All-Star Game was this week, and generally speaking, baseball is always trying to, like, find new ways to bring new fans in because the game is very long, and some would argue slow, some would argue slower. And one of the things that they did at this All-Star Game this year was they mic'd up a lot of the players. They could hear Joe Buck talking. They were able to basically have conversations. One of the things that was really kind of amazing about this was Freddie Freeman was batting. and he was literally had Joe Buck in his ear while trying to hit a Justin Verlander fastball, which is a truly kind of amazing thing. I now am kind of hearing Joe Buck in my ear at my job every single time I do anything now. Will, are you sure you want to use that particular sentence construction? Is that really the adjective you want to go with there?
Yeah, the Joe Buck shoulder angel. Can we listen to that a little bit? We actually have some of this exchange.
Yeah. Watching all this, Freddie, how we doing?
We're doing good. He's throwing really hard over here, guys.
And up.
Yeah, and everything's up. And
I just love the candor there, Will. He's like, this is pretty hard. It's 97 miles an hour.
Yeah, and it's a lot harder with Joe Buck in your ear, I am certain. And I like the idea. I'm glad baseball's a sport that this works particularly well for because there's a lot of time for thinking, a lot of time to relax. There's times in the outfield where you're not actually doing anything. I am curious to see what would happen. Let's try this in hockey. It feels like something very bad would happen. Baseball may be the right sport for this. I think it's good. I think it's good that baseball's doing it, and it certainly added a new dimension to the televised version of the game that I found pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, maybe for golf too, Will. I'd love to hear some of the golfers chit-chatting on the course. Charlotte, who's an athlete that you'd want to hear mic'd up for a game?
Oh, man. I mean, if the women's team had been mic'd up, I think that would have been, you know, I'm kind of obsessed with them right now, namely from watching Ashlyn Harris's Instagram stories. But I think that it would be really cool to get Nick Kyrgios in tennis and just hear him, like, go off, because I'm sure he says some, like, very juicy things out there on the court.
I'm certain that you're right, but I like the soccer idea too. I mean, who wouldn't have wanted to hear the team's reaction to the teacup celebration, for example,
or oh so my many, God.
Right? It would have been solid gold. Listen, I agree that miking up these players is genius, and it was absolutely the best part of the All-Star game. But, Will, I also had this nightmarish vision during the All-Star game when the Mets' Pete Alonso made what appeared to be a great play at first base and then admitted on the microphone, I don't know if I was on the bag.
How about that play, Pete?
Yeah, I don't know if I was on the bag on that one, though.
Uh-oh, we've heard it right from the horse's mouth.
So, Will, your instant replay is already a controversial part of sports. What happens when a mic'd-up player admits that he got away with something the officials missed?
That's all we need is the challenge flag for mics. That's a very terrifying kind of notion. But listen, the nice thing about the All-Star game, and I think the reason the mics were kind of fun in that regard, was it doesn't count and nobody really cares. I'm going to guarantee you, if that's a big game and Pete Alonso is mic'd up, his foot was on the base, and he will take no evidence to the contrary. Like, that's why I wonder if you can really do this kind of mic'd up player in a game that counts, because A, you'd hear nothing but cursing, and B, the level of competition would make it to where they would find talking to Joe Buck a little less charming than they might find it during an actual All-Star game.
Or even if the All-Star game still counted for home field advantage in the World Series, the stakes might have been too high. So there's one more good reason that we've ditched that formula.
It still cracks me up that was ever a thing we did, to be honest.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
It's like one of the most beautiful baseball weirdness that they actually made the All-Star game count for anything.
Well, I think we've finally gotten right. It's a true exhibition, and now we can hear the players chatting on the field. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Sports Illustrated's Charlotte Wilder and New York Magazine contributing editor Will Leach. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you. Such a pleasure.
Thank you.